Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming so early. I will talk about earthworms. Have you been underestimating earthworm numbers in Grace Grasslands? Down there you see my university and my sponsors. I'm based in Ireland, from the University College of Ireland, and my project is about dung pads in grasslands and how earthworms are attracted to them. I have to admit that they are a bit bigger than the microbes we heard so far about. I hope it's still interesting. So what will my talk be about? I will first explain a bit about the background, outline the scientific questions, outline the experimental design, and then talk about the results and have some take-home messages in the end. So my experiment is based in Ireland, and Ireland relies on pasture-based agriculture. Cows are on the grassland grazing up to 300 days a year. And as you can see below, there is intensification going on. So intensification can increase, can decrease, or can reduce biodiversity, soil biodiversity. One of the species which are profiting from intensification are earthworms. Because of the higher nutrients inputs, increased wort productivity, and more cows, and this higher stocking rate also results in more dung pads, which are a nutrient source for the earthworms, and they also contain soil moisture. So my scientific questions are, when these dung pads are attractive to earthworms, are they forming a hotspot for earthworms? And how long does this effect last? Is this effect homogeneous among all species, or among species from different ecological groups, or does this only apply to certain species? And how are the environmental variables are in fact how is this attraction influenced by environmental variables such as climate? So to find that out, I did an experiment on a study site in southeastern Ireland, an intensively managed dairy farm. With over 1,000 millimeter rainfall a year. The soil is a well-drained brown earth. Site is about 1 hectare with grass, with perennial ray grass, and the management is strip grazing with a high livestock unit per hectare of 2.5. Yeah, below you can see the site. So the sampling design. The sampling bases on naturally applied dung pads. Before, initially, I have done an earthworm assessment of the field, and the experiment has one treatment, dung pads, and one control under grassland. And then the worms were identified down to species level. So, to find out, I did field work. The study site was sampled for earthworms initially, as I said already. And then the site was grazed to place dung pads, obviously. And then the sampling started 14 days, 27 days, 41, 55, and 80 days later to cover the temporal effects. So this is an example how the experiment is laid out spatially. So you can see dung pads, and then in between their control points. The dung pads are selected randomly. And then for each sampling event, these dung pads were sampled for earthworms and also the grassland points or the grass control points were sampled. Weather data was recorded and the soil moisture deficit calculated, and the field soil moisture content was also assessed. So the sampling of earthworms was done with hand sorting. Therefore, we took a defined soil block with a surface of 0.09 square meters, and this was then searched by hand sorting to find all earthworms, and these were later on identified under the microscope. So let's talk about the results. On the upper graph, you can see on the y-axis the average abundance of earthworms found under each of these 0.09 square meter blocks. On the x-axis, you can see the different the time steps I sampled, and you can see in the beginning it increases a bit, and then from the second week over time it slightly decreases, but it's kind of stable among like 50 to 70 earthworms. But as I said already before, the sampling took place in spring. On the lower graph, you can see the average soil temperature increases. There is plenty of precipitation in some rainfall events. That's the blue line, and the violet line. You can see the soil moisture deficit, which increases a bit. So when it's spring and the nature is thriving, why are the same earthworms all the time? So this can be explained with most of the earthworms were found under the dung pads. So as I said before, the first sampling was under grass, and then there was the dung pad application, the grazing, and then the average numbers under dung pads increased strongly. Up to 8 weeks after sample, after application of dung pads, and afterwards it decreased again. So one can assume that the effect of the dung pads kind of decreases after 8 to 10 weeks. And also on the graph below, you can see that the soil moisture deficit increased towards the end of the sampling period, which could be also a reason why there were less numbers of earthworms under the dung pads. So how does this result can be broken down to species distribution? So of the total abundance of earthworms I found, 40% were adults. Only adults can be identified properly, and 50% were juveniles. So the adults split up in mainly endogenic earthworms, those three big fractions here, and the rest is smaller fractions. In total, I found 13 species. So how does this attraction works to different species and to different ecological groups? Some of you might have heard of them. So the first group is the epigeic species group, which lives in the top of the soil, close to the roots or close to the surface, and doesn't really go anywhere else than staying on the surface. You can see that the brown bars are all much higher than the there are only brown bars there, so I found this species only under dung pads. While the endogeic species shows a more diverse picture, so two species are kind of attracted to the dung pads, while the other two species are not really attracted. For them, the influence is kind of even. The endogeic species are the ones which are dwelling deeper, and they have randomly orientated barrels. And then the third group is the anisic species. There is also a diverse picture. So you can see here that the first species is not really impressed by dung pads, but the lumbricus sites are strongly influenced by Bedankfeld's presence. So, to conclude, or to take home, yes, earthworms are attracted significantly to dung pads. This attraction is temporarily limited, about 2 months. And the attraction is also limited to certain species, even to in groups. So you can't generalize one group saying they're all interested in dung pads. And if you wouldn't sample them properly, you would probably underestimate the species from certain species, as you have seen in the graphs before. And then the environmental variables were not correlated with the abundance of earthworms on the dung pads. So therefore, I conclude that one has to consider also the nutrient factor of the dung pads, not just the moisture and temperature. So when dung pads are earthworm hotspots, and there is a strong activity of earthworms under these dung pads, how is the impact on soil structure and soil hydrology? And if there is a high abundance of dung pad in a field, does this have an impact on the field hydrology? And does it last long enough to have a long-term effect? And the species attraction, the attraction to different species leads to the question, when I'm sampling a grassland, how do I consider the dung pads? I can't exclude them as non-representative, so I have to somehow include them in my assessment. And I have to look into the limitation of environmental influences by dung pads as well, because they seem to shield the soil from the moisture. So that's all for me. I want to say thank you to the students who helped me searching thousands of earthworms. To my supervisors, I want to say thank you, and to the Department of Agriculture, which funded my which funds my PhD. Okay, any questions? No, I don't think that this is in any way valid for a natural system, because maybe if there is like a gathering of natural animals in certain places where you have a high concentration of dung, but usually this is in these artificial systems you have a very high density of cows, and the ground is littered with dung pads. And earthworms contribute a lot to the depletion of the dung pads, so they are very important, but they don't have such an important job regarding the dung depletion in natural systems. So I don't think that it's really important. Yes?
Did you estimate the area covered by dung pads and how big an air that you might have by not measuring under?
No, I haven't looked at that. I'm still having a second phase of the project where I'm continuing the same assessment, including soil physical assessment, and with artificial dung pads. So I will look at that in the next phase of my project, I guess. No, I don't think so. I would have probably increased numbers, but you can see that that when you lift up a dung pad, when you scrap them away, you can see that the earthworms are literally like going into the dung pad and feeding on the dung pad. So after a certain time, when they are fresh, you can't find any, but later on you can find a lot. So they really enjoy the food. Okay. Thank you.